What more do you want from me?
Oh yeah. Welcome, welcome, welcome back to another edition of Office Hours. And you already know what it is, what it's hitting for. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I'm gonna spruce my music up just a little bit, you know. Just a tad bit, you know what I mean? You know, not much, not much, not much. There we go. All right. So, you already know what it is. It's Philly Fridays. And, you know, welcome to Office Hours with your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones. You already know you're locked in for the next hour. And there's not much you can do about it. You know what I'm saying? It just really ain't, you know? And I don't think as much you want to do about it. You're here for a reason. Let me just smash that down a little bit. There you go. Just a little, there we go. So, as you know, we're always working. And, you know, it was like a, you know, I mean, we're in the airplane, but we're building as we're flying. You know what I'm saying? You know? We keep it pushing. So, welcome again to Philly Fridays. This is your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones, Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. And we are live on FetLife Station at FetLifeStation.com. Also, if you are interested and you want to make sure that you catch us, you know, and catch us, on demand, you can catch us on various different platforms, all the different streaming platforms at True Crime, True Radio Stories, True Crime, True Radio Stories. And you can catch us and catch all the broadcasts, you know, check out all the different programs that are on those particular sites. And it is hot. I don't know a better way to put it. And so stay cool, stay hydrated. Make sure you stay out the way. You know what I mean? People are not doing well. And we're seeing it out here in these streets. You see it in traffic. The microaggressions are no longer micro. You know, there's a lot of macroaggressions. People are just literally losing their damn minds out here. You know, so you just be careful, man, because I don't want nobody to get hit up in the street, car accidents. You know what I'm saying? We got to take it easy, y'all. So, you know what I mean? It's funny, right? Because I've been following the follow-up to the last election, and it is just hilarious to me. One of the funniest parts of it is, you know, right now, the Democrats are losing their beloved minds. The Democrats are out here falling over. Listen, that display, man, of Joe Biden with him talking and mumbling and fumbling and looking like he was half past dead. You know what I'm saying? That is a bad image for anybody that's running for commander in chief in the November elections. One of the funniest parts about that is the fact that, all the different radio shows and all the different podcasts and things of that nature, Let me get that right. I had to adjust that just a bit. All the different podcasts and all the different news sites that are pro-Democrat are actually flipping out right now because the realization has come in that this is not going to be a good look for November. And they're actually wondering if he'll even still be around because his condition, he looks like he's somebody that should have been in bed. You know how they wheel those beds out, what do they call them? Therapeutic beds, and they leave them in your homes, and he's sleeping in the living room and shit. That's the condition he kind of looks like. You know what I'm saying? And the mumbling and fumbling, not there was one exchange where Donald Trump said, I don't know what he said. I don't even think he knows what he said. And Biden slowly turned and glared towards him. And Donald Trump ain't say anything worthwhile anyway. Donald Trump is not a real politician. He just likes the attention that come with being in the White House. So, being as though he coasted through the last time he was in there, he's, you know, basically there's nothing standing between him and the White House right now. So they're talking about possibly creating a situation where the Democrats are going to have a real gnat at the convention. They're going to actually have to develop a candidate. And so many of them been trying to ask Joe Biden to stand down. Even members of Congress are asking him to stand down. And he's like, I ain't going nowhere. So, you know, don't be surprised, man, if they knock off old Jim Crow Joe before they, you know, and make it look natural before, you know what I'm saying? Because he has until like August. So they got like a 30-day window right now before where he had to withdraw, and they would have to draw up candidates, and then the convention, the actual candidate will be elected at the convention, which means they will have to, you know, drive on the politics. One of the biggest roadblocks in all that is the fact that none of them seem to want to promote Kamala Harris. None of them. She's facing and apparently, allegedly, she is pissed. So, you know, keep an eye on that whole thing as it falls out, man. This is, at this point, there's no dignity in the institution of the presidency in the White House right now. It's just absolute none. It's a total, you know, poop fest. You know what I'm saying? Quite frankly, I'm here for it. It's not a good look internationally, though. Because you do want, you know, the commander in chief to actually look like he can actually, you know, have some resolve about him. You know, the last time the office had any dignity, ironically, is when Barack Obama was president. And he's the last person to, you know, actually maintain any sort of dignity within that office. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting election coming up. And you know, is Kamala black this time? Because I know she switches up. Sometimes she's black, sometimes she's Indian. You know, we don't know who the hell she is. She's a chameleon for real. And nobody really likes her. We were talking about that on our response show on the Shoulders of Giants, my good brother Joseph Ward and Patrick Irvin. And so, you know, we just basically just sit there and yeah, Kamala is not the best. And she's like, yo, right, I'm going to get back to Kamala in a minute because she did something this past week which is like, I'm getting tired of the, you know, I'm getting tired of the lowbrow stuff that people throw towards black people, all right, especially in politics. But, you know, I want to talk about something too, right, because like a follow-up on something we talked about a few weeks ago. We might even talk about last week with Chris Brown and hold on, man, because, you know, I got to play with the music a little bit. But Chris Brown had opened up a window. They said like four people have filed divorces after dealing with after their women have dealt with Chris Brown. So I want to play a few clips of men. These aren't even black men. I'll play a few clips of men who are feeling like they're just tired of the disrespect. Right, here go. Here's another one. Here's one. Hold tight, y'all. It's coming.
This girl was doing that to me, talking to other dudes in the bar, and yeah. I just went over to him, and I said, excuse me, sir. I go, can you give her a ride home? Because I'm leaving. And I left her. I left her in the city. I was living in Jersey.
Yo, man, yo, dudes are just getting tired, man, of dealing with that type of stuff, man. You know,
I mean,
you know what I'm saying? Dudes are just like that. That's just not, you know, where it's at right now. So, you know, he left it there, and it, in a date is just being disrespectful, right? So here's another one, right? This is a short. This is hilarious. So check this out. It's coming.
Are you heading to the store?
Yeah.
Why don't you pick up some of those pills that'll help you get it up?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Back from the store?
Yep, there you go.
But these are diet pills.
Exactly.
Fatality.
Right, so we're getting tired of this one-sided thing, as if, you know, all the onus on honor, dignity, and respect is supposed to come from the man side of this particular equation. Men are getting tired of this shit. Let me tell you something. So a lot of men have been responding more so in telling the women, basically, listen, if you disrespect me, it's going to be treated as such. And I think that's important, because for so long, men have just been the butt of all these jokes, taking it, taking it, taking it. And these are not just like victimless crimes that are being committed. You know, these things are some hurtful shit that you can say to a man, or the hurtful shit you can do to a man. And it's like the disrespect for so long has been tolerated. And these are white men who are basically doing, because, you know, black men are the only men really on the planet that have been bred to be comfortable with, you know, being disrespected and just taking it in stride. Other men of other nations don't tolerate this shit. So that's why you saw what you just saw in the last few clips. You know, with their responses. But brothers are finally starting to speak out about this type of stuff, right? So, but back to Kamala Harris, right? Because she did something that was really wild. She played a role in the BET Awards, which in itself, I just, you know, I haven't watched the BET Awards in like, we're going back to like 2009. The last time I watched the BET Awards, and he did like a tribute to Michael Jackson because he had just passed. That's the last time I watched the BET Awards. I swear to God, I only see it in passing if somebody else is watching it and I happen to come into the room. So I did not realize that they had really city girl the whole BET Awards. But I do know that all these award channels, they're not owned by all these channels. They're not owned by black people, especially not black Americans. And what I find is when you have programs that promote things that used to have some dignity in terms of upholding the image of black people, the BET Awards is actually created and generated under Bob Johnson, I believe, when he was owner of the BET, the BET network. And one of the things that, you know, he made sure of is that the BET Awards was supposed to sort of like be the black award show, so we didn't have to worry about the Oscars, the Emmys, and all that other shit where black people weren't being represented. Now what's happened, you've had fights at the BET Awards, the Soul Train Music Awards, you have fights on the stage and shit. It's just like gutter shit that's being promoted. And Kamala Harris allegedly called up, or they did like a video skit with her on it, when she's talking about she's outside. And you wonder why you're not seen as a viable candidate for president. You outside? Fuck you doing outside, especially this time. But that's the same thing, you know, you have when people try to lowbrow black America. And the award show itself, man, I mean, shout out to Ping Pong Lessons. She really did a number. Like, she was cooking and talked about the level of debauchery that took place. Sexy Red was like throwing money out, making it rain on the red carpet. And she's sort of like the star of the show, from what I hear, you know. And then it was just like the whole tribute to Usher, where you had women just grinding on stage and just doing and barely wearing any clothes. You know what I'm saying? It's like, where is your integrity at, sisters? And why aren't other sisters calling this shit out? And I think a lot of times, because this is something that women should be dealing with. As a man, I'm repulsed by this. You know what I'm saying? You mean to tell me that that's the best we have to offer? And it's always some shit like, you know, y'all just hate black women. No, we just hate what black women are doing right now. This is a disgrace in terms of the way your public image is taking a drug man. And then you blame black men for the shit. Ain't nobody make y'all put those clothes on. No brother put a gun in your head and said, listen, y'all need to go out there and wear, dental floss, swimwear, whatever. You know what I'm saying? Whatever y'all got going on out there. Ain't nobody doing that. Y'all just out there. And it's loose, wild, and out of control. And, you know what I'm saying? It's just something that is just... it's just disgusting at this point. Like, how fucking low can you go? Like, I'm tired of the twerking. I'm tired of y'all just... you want to talk about the world sexually objectifying yourself, yet and still the number one promoters of sexually objectifying black women are black women. Like, fuck. Y'all, you just can't help yourselves anymore. It's like you're out of control. Women, Luth, you're out of control. You know what I'm saying? And it's just wild to me that this is what you want representing you. Because then you'll say, no, nobody's more disrespected or unprotected than the black woman. Well, who's disrespecting you more than you right now? And it's how far down we go because you're disrupting future generations. But don't take it from a black man. No, don't. You don't need to take this from a brother. You don't need to hear this from me. I'm gonna let y'all hear it from a member of the community, the demographic that should be addressing this crap. I'm gonna let you hear it from her.
She gonna tear your daughter's self-esteem down piece by piece. Sexy Red is making a mockery out of black girls' hair and saying it looks like carpet and saying that it's unattractive, along with turning your daughter into whores. I hate this bitch. She gonna tear your daughter's self-esteem down piece by piece. Sexy Red,
you know what I mean? I'm sorry, the YouTube shorts be just going too far. But she's right. And you know how many people try to defend it? Well, she can rap and this. At some point, you got to listen to the words and see the effect that it has. Because then people are becoming the people like me, like, brother, what can we do about fixing and uplifting the spirit of the black community? What can we do about improving the integrity of the black community? What can we do about the fact that these young cats are out here, they have no self-respect, low self-esteem, and they're all out here popping off at the wrong type shit? What are we supposed to do? And it's to the point where we got to fight everybody. We got to fight the white supremacists who create and push this out here. We got to fight the people who are just out here having so much goddamn fun. And then we got to deal with, the people, the main base supporting and protecting this shit, the women. It was kind of like the R. Kelly thing. Like, people, brothers, y'all need to hold R. Kelly accountable. How can we when y'all the only ones showing up to his concert? How can we when y'all the ones throwing panties up on the stage? Y'all got to cut. Yo, some accountability has to be enlisted somewhere, somehow. Y'all better hurry up, too, because they just announced that, they're putting provisions in place to legalize the draft from anybody from the ages of 18 to 24. Or was it 18 to 26? But and I believe the draft includes women this time around. So y'all better be, y'all worried about the wrong shit. So, but in addition to that, man, it's like this whole concept of declining culture that we're dealing with in the black community. And it's been bad for a long time. Let's just keep it a buck. It's been bad a long time. You know what I'm saying? We're sitting here watching the morals change since the 90s. which, you know, you had the Cosby Show, you had A Different World on, you had all these things promoting positive and healthy culture within the black community. Even throughout the whole concept of gangster rap, which was out there, which was only a very short time. It did change the landscape, not gonna lie, but for a very short time. And people pretend like there wasn't pushback back then. You literally had C. Dolores Tucker right out here in Philadelphia campaigning on the congressional floor to shut down and censor the rap. They had censorship of the music. They were arresting these guys on stage for singing the music. They had to start putting explicit lyric tags on all their music when it was in the stores. They had to start producing clean versions of their songs so they can go in places like Walmart, Target, and on the Ave, things of that nature. Nowadays, the shit is out of control, and it's like the longer, the further along we have gotten, the darker things have gotten for black people in regards to how we operate. And if you don't believe me, I want y'all to hear this real quick, right? I want y'all to hear this young brother who, let me see. I want y'all to hear this from, you know, a young brother who used to actually populate in these spaces in this whole new scene.
It's me, I'm giving you a piece of me, I'm working, and you me at the same time. Shit, I know it's racing, this is where I'm from. That's what it is, so that's what I'm giving y'all, you see what I'm saying? While we was making one of the videos, one of the actors kind of threw the basketball at me too hard. I pieced him up a few times. That was funny. I don't know what made me want to tell stories in my song. It just happened, I just started doing them, and you see what I'm saying? Like, I ain't even know this is rapping, and it happened like that. I like demons. Demons, I fuck with demons. I fuck with the Wayne story. That bitch go crazy. Yeah. Wayne for sure. Gucci, I fuck with. You know, the people I watch run up by the nut.
Now, I want y'all to pay attention to what he said. He said he fucks with demons. You know, he loves demons, right? Now, I want you to keep that in mind, because the rappers, like we just talked about a few weeks ago, Julio Fulio out of Jacksonville, Florida, was recently murdered, right? In Tampa, Florida, outside of a Holiday Inn, and I think it was another hotel that was connected, or right across the driveway, across the street, whatever. Approximately 4:45 in the morning, right around that time. And the whole time he was rapping, he acknowledged he also liked to identify himself as a demon, right? And I want y'all to hear this short clip from Charleston White, right? y'all know me in the music. I love my background music, but I'm gonna let y'all hear this thing from Charleston White real quick. I think he was on the show Say Cheese, So I'm gonna let you listen to this short clip from Charleston White.
Even after that, homie, so I paid very close attention to that young nigga. Listen to his lyrics. Nigga, he wasn't a representation of light. He wasn't a representation of what the Muslim niggas call Shahada. He wasn't what we would call a nigga that can walk with Christ. He was a demonic, satanic figure. He laughed about it, and he even had the voodoo shit. So, nigga, he believed in witchcraft. And he believed witchcraft protected him. Nigga, one thing about witchcraft can't nothing protect you, nigga, from pussy when you pursue pussy. So my nigga Derek Cherry, man, star motherfucking running back out of Dunbar High School, been to the feds, ain't no five time. My nigga told me, my nigga, he come home from the feds and say, nigga, this was 5-6 years ago. He said, say, Blue, you know how they go get you. And he tell me this at the halfway house. He said, money and pussy.
So, and I want to speak to that too, man, because I think there's a misconception about African spirituality and so forth. So I always have to redress when people speak on the notion of voodoo, right? Voodoo was a concept that was generated and 21 different nations came together, African spirituality, and on the island of what then became Haiti, right, after the Haitian Revolution. And that was actually the spiritual force that was used to overthrow, you know, one of the most demonic forces at the time, Napoleon Bonaparte. And not only that, but to destroy, to fight off the Spanish, as well as the, what other nation was it? It was the Italians, the French, and the Spaniards, right? Oh, the English, excuse me, the Brits, the French, and the Spaniards. And they fought off all three of those powerful nations at that particular time. And so, so when people, you know, try to, you know, when people speak on it, most people speak from a place of not knowing and the preferred ignorance. And if you know anything about the history of voodoo, it was so powerful that the first horror films that were generated in America were basically, you know, aligning voodoo with zombieism. They call them zombies, but zombieism, and in league with the devil, and therefore scaring black people away from, you know, one of the vestiges that was connected to God. You know, African spiritual systems, you know, are connected to God, and people do good and bad things in those particular, just like people pray for your downfall. They're Christians, they may be Muslims, but they'll pray for your downfall. Is that godly? So I think we need to start, you know, really understanding that. But he spoke to something else, though, that I think is something we need to really focus on. And the fact that these are times where these young people in particular, not just young people, I've seen people my age do this shit, where they start talking about operating from demon time. I was trying to be nice to you, but now I see I got to get on my demon time. You know, I got to get wicked. You know what I'm saying? So as you see, I ain't playing. And it's like the affiliation of power comes from, you know, being connected to these dark forces. You know what I'm saying? Not understanding, you know, or not even knowing, having a understanding or relationship with God. And a lot of that has to do with, you know, the Christian church. You know what I'm saying? A lot of it has to do with the Christian church. A lot of it has to do with the media. It's always a portrayal of fear being implemented in regards to the religions, in regards to the people who practice the religion. So when it comes to fighting darkness, all you see people doing is praying. But darkness is tearing the goddamn frame out. All the little movies, Rosemary's Baby, you know, the one with Arnold Schwarzenegger in it not too long ago, about 20 years ago, End of Days, and you start to see that stuff, and you start to think to yourself that, wow, you know, where's God in all of this? And then you start to see like it played out in real life when things happen. You had that coward that went to the church in South Carolina and shot all those parishioners, and then the next day the other members of the church are running to the microphone to forgive this terrorist. You start to see it, and then you start to portray that, and then you start seeing, wow, we portraying God as being weak. And so when these young people want to feel powerful, they associate power with these wicked and dark forces. Right? They associate power with these wicked and dark entities. And I think there's something we need to look at, you know what I'm saying, in regards to how we can portray, you know what I'm saying, these entities. And hold on one second, because let me see. For Legion, there was passage in the Bible, right? Where it talked about Jesus Christ, you know what I'm saying? And I'm going to this specifically because I'm tired of Christians portraying God as being weak. You know what I'm saying? So Jesus went and Jesus went and he had did an exorcism. Jesus had did an exorcism, right? And in this particular exorcism, I'm trying to find the exact quote. So give me a second. All right. So, and he said, when he came to the side, to the other side in the country, of the Gadarenes, two demonic possessed men confronted him as they were coming out of the tombs. And it said they were extremely violent. They were so violent that no one could pass by that way. And they cried out saying, "What business do you have here? And the Son of God," right? "What business do you have with us, Son of God?" So they already knew who Jesus was. And said, "Have you come here to torment, to torment us before the time?" Think about that for a second. So we talk about these demonic forces and all these kids out here want to be on demon time. Julio Fulio's on demon time. Young and Ace is on demon time. Freaking, you just heard King Von before he died talking about how he loved demons. He loved playing with demons and shit like that. And you think about all this stuff, right? You think about all these things. And you think about the fact that when you see it in common culture, that most people are still talking about this. But when Christ, who was the Son of God at the time, And please don't mistake me for a Christian or whatever, but I'm just actually talking to you about one of the tales in the Bible, not the tales, one of the stories from the Bible that is spoken, right? The demons themselves said, "Did you come here to torment us, the Son of God?" Now, if they were so powerful, if demon time was so powerful, why would the demons that have been tormenting everybody else, tormenting, terrorizing everybody else, why would they tell Jesus, or why would they ask Jesus if he pulled up on them to torment them? Why? Jesus then went on to perform an exorcism. He asked them, "What's your name?" They said, "We are legion because we are many." So in one body, you have 40 demons. He cast those demons out and into the body of the swine. Driving mad, driving crazy, the swine then ran off the cliff and they all died on the fall. Why am I talking about this today? I know y'all asking, where is it going with this? Because I'm tired of the betrayal of God being weak. And because the betrayal of God is weak, so many of us are operating like rats and operating in that whole concept where demons get to resonate, get a place in us. And you know it because God does not operate out of fear. But everything told and showed to black people is based in placing fear upon you. Everything. You look at the Bible. I mean, not the Bible, excuse me. You look at the political process. And hold tight for a second. Because, you know, I'm not the only one who sees this. I want y'all to listen. I want y'all to listen to this interview of one Charles Manson, right? And people like to identify Charles Manson as some type of maniac. Charles Manson was a brilliant man in terms of like his intellect and things of that nature. Don't get it twisted. A man that can play with the mind of so many people was very smart. And I'm not calling him brilliant from the standpoint of somebody that needs to be admired, but he does need to be studied. So here you go.
"I say I hate you first. You're the first line I hate. I hate all white people. White people are rotten. And black people are just like them. Because you've made them just exactly like you. They walk like you, they talk like you, everything they do is like you. They want to be you so much. They love your woman more than you do. They know your mind better than you. They wear your clothes. They've even learned to wear your shoes. You kick them out of the jungle, and you want to make them into a man. Why couldn't they be left to be God? Why do you want to make them into a man? In the jungle, they were God. Africans are smart, aren't they? See, over here, everybody thinks the old black people are just dumb old colored folks. But they're not dumb old colored folks. They're very smart. They're very aware. And their capacity for fear is three times what yours is.
Fatality.
You see, that does that sound like somebody that's not studied? Does that sound like somebody that doesn't understand the functionality, the psychology, and the spirituality of black people or people, period? See, a lot of y'all look at Charles Manson, he looks crazy and deranged because he's been locked away for a long time. And that's, you know, and he looks disheveled. Let me tell you who Charles Manson was before all that happened. Charles Manson was the man who everybody in Hollywood would use as a muse, like somebody who inspired them. They would go down to his ranch and they would pick his brain. They would live on the ranch to try to just gain knowledge. Like he spoke like a Gnostic. Well, he was a Gnostic. And in addition to that, being a Gnostic, he also had close ties to a lot of college professors up at Stanford, Cal Berkeley, USC, UCLA, all the top-notch professors. They would all be hanging with Charles Manson. So you just imagine him sharing thoughts and philosophies. He's sharing the different sciences with these guys. And the man was damn near genius. And that's what he had to say about black people. So if he understood that about who black people were, why don't we understand that about who we are and our connectedness with nature? He called black people gods because we are the closest thing to God. If you truly understand who we are. And so being so close to God, your relationship with God should alert you to the fact that the only power in the world comes from God. Everything else submits to God, even these wicked forces that you align yourselves with when you want to be powerful. You ever notice that? Like, let's just describe like how darkness works. Darkness works when there's no light in the room. Darkness works when you have when people are doing little slick shit and it's slithering like snakes, right? Formless, right? We already know about the snake and the tail with the serpent and Eve in the Garden of Eden, right? We know about that, right? And y'all make God seem so that's demon. You're slithering, you're doing wicked shit, you're conspiring behind people's backs, right? Like the cowards that set up Jesus. He saw it coming. He even told one person, well, he told one way, he told Paul, you're gonna deny me three times. You're gonna deny knowing me three times to save your ass. You're gonna deny me three times. And I don't know why y'all don't want to acknowledge Jesus. The Christians acknowledge him. The Muslims acknowledge him. The Jews acknowledge him. All the three major Abrahamic religions acknowledge Christ. And we know from African spiritual systems that if Christ wasn't real, the same way we're able to we were able to flush it out, to flush out the lies and the inconsistency, his name wouldn't still ring bells. And there's history. There's actual documents. Yeshua walked this plane. So, but the demons, you saw them submitting. That's when they actually came in contact with the Son of God. They knew they had no power. He evicted them from a vessel. 40 of them. So 40 of them couldn't jump them? Because when other people tried to, I know Peter. I know Paul. I don't know you. And they ended up killing him. And this is because a lot of y'all talk that faith and religion. Y'all don't actually understand what it means. Y'all don't actually know what it is. Y'all don't have a relationship with God. Are you kidding me? You want to be on demon time and not God time? Man, well, let me refresh your memories, some of you. Just some of the stories that have been told by God. First and foremost, created the earth in 6 days and rested on the seventh. That takes power. Also, evicted people from the Garden of Eden. We talk about Adam and Eve kicked out Lilith first, Adam's first wife. Secondly, the wrath of God has been felt. Fire, brimstone, water, name it. All the elements. God said, "Oh, y'all want to get freaky down there? Y'all want to worship false idols? Y'all want to get freaky? Y'all want to go against my word, my laws, my policies? All right, bet. Yo. Said the angels out. Yo. Get them out of there. Get Lot and his family out of there. And tell them don't look back, because I don't want them to see what's about to happen. You might be salty if you do." And then destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And Lot's wife for looking back.
Jesus Christ.
Do you understand that? Told Moses. I mean, told Noah. Hey, check this here, right? Yeah, it turns out that, you know, some of the angels that we kicked out of heaven, kicked the angels out of heaven, the fallen angels, right? Including the morning star, which people saw fall. Kicked them all out of heaven. Because they want to actually have kids with mortal women and create these giants called Nephilim, which were just terrorizing the planet, eating people and shit. Build this boat, B. Yeah. We're about to wash all this away. Get these animals. I'm going to give you a list. Give these animals and 40 days and 40 nights. Y'all going to be on board. Don't even look out the window. Are you kidding me? Is there weakness? Yo. Are you kidding me? So, this is why we have to start reclaiming the image of God, because too many of y'all are afraid. Y'all even fear God. Now, I know the Bible tells you need to fear God, but not in the way y'all do. It's like fear not doing his bidding, fear being disrespectful, fear being blasphemous. But y'all fear God to the point where y'all are frozen by fear. And then other things. That's not godly. God doesn't operate in fear. God operates in love. Sometimes it's tough love. Now, how is it me, who is not a Christian, who is not a Muslim, can understand that with God, but those of you who claim to be of the word or not? How is that? So, you know, I had to speak on this because I'm looking at the demise of our community. And I'm looking at these kids who are out here who have no faith, no hope, no nothing. And they take pride in operating like little wickedness, little wicked demons. You can even see it in their faces now. You can see like the absence of God in them. And they themselves have y'all terrorized. Y'all scared to go outside. Y'all scared to sit on y'all steps. Because y'all don't believe in God either. And I said it. Y'all don't believe in God either. And this is why. Now, I was having a conversation with my good brother, my good brother George earlier today, right? And we were just talking about how it's important that we you know, show the power of God. Speak about it. God wasn't no chump. And see, y'all talk about like the wickedness, like it's going to come to you looking like, like with horns, the face of a monster. Did y'all even read the book where it talked about Lucifer being the most beautiful angel? Did y'all even read? Lucifer was dimed with gems, precious gems and stones. Now, when you out here seeing all these cats out here with these gold chains on, mouth full of, you know, diamonds and diamond crusted gold and platinum and shit, what does that look like to you? Y'all don't even recognize the devil when you see him. But somebody like me telling you the truth comes off as, I'm going to tell you something about that, right? So I used to question that, damn, like, why do so many people, why do I get into it with so many people? Then I realized something. It's the God in me that disturbs the demons in you. It's the God in me that disturbs the demons in you. So when I speak this truth and I talk about the community, I talk about our children and women. It's funny. I could tell you all day long about what we need to do to fix the children, fix the young people, fix the young brothers. Everybody, yes, sir, bro. Yes, sir, bro. Talk about the women. Hold on, sir. Hold on now. And it bothers you because I'm questioning, I'm challenging the notion that makes it okay for a sexy red to be promoted in such way. An industry plan that's designed to take away and destroy the minds of young black women as they grow up. Forget young black women. She's going after babies. Teenagers are singing her music. Because I have an issue with the song WAP. But you got what's her name? The Congress lady that y'all call Auntie Maxine Waters, talking about how empowered she was by the goddamn song when she was supposed to be in there admonishing, you know, Meg Thee Stallion for even having the nerve to make that song. Children are having sex at a younger age now, overly sexualized, all the content they have available to them at the stroke of their fingertips now. The main ones on these chat lines. And then they're also involved in the gang stuff. The ones dropping locations and hiding in plain sight and setting people up and backdooring people. Most of this stuff wouldn't be possible without that. And not understanding that this is the war for the souls and the sanctity of saving the black community and black people. This is it right here, good and evil. And many of y'all are so comfortable and so fine because the demons that are in you have you on cruise control. They're the true operators of the matrix that you subscribe to. And you enjoy their presence. But like I always say, if God is with me, then who can stand against me? If God is with me, I can't worry about all these other things. And yes, we're flesh and blood, and we're dealing with wickedness from high places and principalities, and that's what's being consumed. You know, there was a man named John Todd who talked about being a member of the Illuminati way back when. He talked about how before off records were made, that they would be placed, there was always a demonic altar in the basement, and the records would be laced with that they would utilize they would put spells on the records to summon demons whenever the song is played. And you wonder if that's what's happening right now with our music. Not only do they have to do that, but also the ones that are actually making the music. They're out there talking about, I got cars full of killers and this thing. God is life. Just like Charleston White was saying, that's not God. You talking killing people, AK-47s, all this wild shit. That's not God. Now, God will send you to war. God will unleash his wrath. And that's something that you need to understand as well. See, the hurting and harming of the innocent, that's not. And there's some people that will debate that based on some of the stories coming, you know, about the Pharisees in Egypt and things of that nature. And the blood of the firstborn. I got that part. But what I'm talking about is that if you truly had a relationship with God, you would lose fear of all things. I traveled the whole country by myself, and I shouldn't even be saying that. One of the things that Fulio did was he told people about the ceremony, the ritual that was used to offer protection over him. And those are things you don't do. Because those who, like the ritual protected him from the darkness. But when the dark and wicked forces no longer had any use for him, for all the wicked stuff he was doing, for all the tormenting of the deceased that he was doing, the disrespect, you know, laying across graves, and those weren't the graves of the people that he murdered, that was murdered, but still, you don't understand the power of your tongue. When those wicked entities no longer have use for you, they will backdoor you themselves. All the people that are dying, all the young people that are dying in these streets, are people who thought that they were covered and became uncovered at the most inopportune time, because the darkness wanted their souls at that particular moment. You rarely see, like, you talk about, because you can say, oh, anybody can be caught lacking, because that's the word they use now, lacking. Malcolm X was caught lacking. Martin Luther King was caught lacking. I promise you they weren't. Malcolm X and Dr. Martin Luther King both knew the day of that they were walking out of there, and they were dying on their shield that day. The writing was on the wall. Malcolm X actually wasn't even feeling well the morning he was murdered. Dr. King spoke the day before about not being getting to the mountaintop, I might not be there with you. And he spoke about those he couldn't trust that was amongst him. They valiantly did that. And that's why we still have to talk about them today. That's why they're more relevant today than they were when they were alive. And they weren't cowards. You didn't hear about them doing things in the back rooms and things of that nature. Sure, there's some stories about King and taking money and things of that nature. But when he woke up, he was still a valiant man. They couldn't find anything on Malcolm. They started making stuff up. So I speak to you, and I tell you, if you're honest with yourself, you won't operate in fear. You won't allow yourself to be bullied by these so-called Democrats talking about, oh my God, if Trump gets elected, he has a plan called Project 2025. None of that will scare you. I wasn't scared the first time Trump got elected. I even predicted it in June of that year that he was getting elected. I wasn't the one talking about moving out of the country. People called me scared talking about they're going to have to move out of the country. I don't give a damn. I ain't scared of none of y'all. And I ain't scared of none of them. And if you walk with God, you wouldn't be scared of none of them either. But because you don't,
what more do you want from me?
And I'm not saying there's something against praying. Prayer works. But understand, your words are prayers. Actively. Every day. Everything you do, everything you talk, you put into fruition. Biggie and Tupac started talking about death, and death became them. People talk about, woe is me. Your life, your words. You put that out there, and that's what get answered. You don't even know you're talking to God every day, but God ain't the only one talking to you. You better take heed. So I want to thank you all for tuning in. I hope you all got something from this, because this was from the heart. I'm just so heartbroken seeing so many of us, our young people, dying out here. And it's being callous. And then, you know, and I'm seeing the future of the communities. I swear I never thought I'd live to see the day that it was in such disregard, such disorganization. Like this is I just don't have the words for it. And the sickness that prevails. So okay, y'all. Thank you for tuning in to another edition of Office Hours with Professor Carl Tone Jones. I truly appreciate you and your time. If you can, leave a comment, let us know you heard something, you got something from this, even if you disagree with me. We need to have this conversation. This is the most important conversation of our time. And remember, war and peace. Because if you want peace, you better be willing to wage war for it. And as I said before, if God is with me, then who can stand against me?